You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
Good singing this morning, you guys. Been in Texas all week. Howdy. How are y'all doing? Who said great? There's one person. Is that you? You're the only one, Ron? Man, it's good to be back with y'all. See, I've been in Texas all week. We've been eating Mexican food and just enjoying our time away. Someone said, did you get a lot of rest? And the first part of the week was very restful. And then Brock started his bowling tournament, and then it got very stressed out. But, Brock, it's good to see you. Becca, it's good to see you. I've been here about a year and a half. Did you guys know that? Some of you are going, oh, just a year and a half? It feels like 5 years. I'm going to preach on What's the Church today. Because if you haven't heard, you got a new pastor coming in a couple of weeks. Have you guys heard that? So we're going to talk about what the church is today. And then in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk about, I mentioned this to someone and they laughed, what your new pastor wants you to know about being a pastor. You'll want to be here for that. That's on the 5th or 6th of August. And then on the 12th, we have that, I call it an installation service. Some people don't like it because it sounds like he's a new dishwasher or something, and we're going to install him. But it's kind of a, this church has been looking at new vision for about a year and a half. Not necessarily a new pastor, but new direction, new vision, and so forth. So once we got that back in February or March, now we've been looking for the new pastor. We got him. And so he's being installed in this church to help us go toward the new vision, if that makes sense to y'all. So it's a really cool ceremony. You guys will like it. It'll be on the 12th, and that's his first Sunday here, so make sure that you're here. Let's talk about the church. What do you guys know about the church? When you hear the word church, what do you think? What are some definitions? And say them at one time so I can't understand it. People, anyone else? Body of Christ. It's the building, isn't it? Oh. It's us. You know, I have a bad habit. When I see pastors throughout the week, I'll ask them, how is church? And what I'm referring to is the worship service of the church. Y'all get that, right? Or we'll pass by a church and we'll say, look at that church. Well, you're seeing the church building. You're not seeing the church. The church is here. Church is out there. Church is us, right? Believers. Just some definitions. God's household, yeah. Pillar and foundation of the truth. The pillar and foundation of the truth, what's that based on? Us? No, on God, on Jesus. Yeah. And then church of the living God. Some love church. For others, it's an issue. For others, it can be a real turnoff. You are so good, man. You know, I'm only here a couple more weeks, so that I'm waiting on that turkey sandwich whenever you're going to send one up, okay? Some are super healthy. Some churches have more energy than they know what to do with. Look at this. Read through some of those. Some churches jump to conclusions, beat around the bush. Surely not Sabina Road, right? Some like to run down the pastor. Some go around in circles. Some churches are so healthy, they drag their feet. They duck or dodge responsibilities. They pass the buck, climb the walls, wade through paperwork, pull strings, stretch the truth, bend the rules, push their luck. Some churches like to throw their weight around. You know I'm being facetious, right? Are y'all with me this morning? Sometimes we get so energized by our work, we start doing a lot of these things. instead of renewing our walk, our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ every day. Amen? We have a faulty idea of church. Do you guys remember when you were a kid, this thing? Here's the church. Come on, you guys not? Here's the church. There's a steeple. Open it up. And there are the people. Church does not happen at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. The worship service of the believers, that happens at 10:45. But the church itself is out and about. In fact, the Bible says that we are his holy places now. Look at 1 Peter 1. It'll be up on your screen in just a second. 1 Peter 1, 15 says, "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all of your conduct. Be set apart from the world by your godly character or moral courage. Because it is written, you shall be holy and set apart." Why? Because I am holy. The church is to be a reflection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This makes sense. This is where you say yes. Because a lot of times the church is not a reflection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk in a few minutes about, remember the five purposes? You're going to get this one more time before you leave. But remember that community part? Sometimes churches have great community, and sometimes we don't. But what are we showing to those around us? Matthew 16, 18 says, "And I say to you that you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell," or Hades, "will not overpower it by preventing the resurrection of the Christ." Sometimes we have a faulty idea of what the church really means. A lot of folks, when they hear about Peter, they'll say, well, he's the rock. He's the rock of the church. Kind of. If you look at the explanation down there, on this rock, when he says, on this rock, I'm going to build my church, he's not talking about Peter. You see Petra? That's the actual word that he's using. Do you notice it's a capital P, signifying deity? On this rock, on my Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to build my church. Peter, you are Petros, small p. You're a little piece of this rock. You aren't the rock of the church. You're a little piece of the rock. What is the rock of the church? What's the foundation of the church? What's the basicness of the church? Jesus Christ. And it is our faith and belief in him. It is our heart toward him. All of us are like Peter. We're not the rock. We're pieces of the rock. Now, a lot of times we like to think that we are the capital P there, the Petra. Boy, what would the church do without us? If it's a bad church, it's going to continue to be selfish. What would the church do without me? Well, if it's a good church, it's going to grow more toward Jesus. We're going to become closer to Jesus. This is especially important with your new pastor coming here. You follow him as he is following the rock, as he's following Jesus Christ. He is not the end all of the church. He is not the capital P. He is not the rock of the church. Jesus Christ is the rock for all of us. And all of us are little pieces of that rock. Y'all with me? Wake up. I know it's hot. But this is what the church does. Chuck Colson said, biblically, the church is an organism, not an organization, a movement, not a monument, and not part of a community, but a whole new community. It is not an orderly gathering. It is a new order with new values, often in sharp conflict with the values of the surrounding community. The church is about people, not the program. It's not about this worship center. It's beautiful. We love it. It's awesome. God's blessed us, hasn't he? But the church can still be the church without this building, or without the programs that we do, or the plans, or the budgets, or anything else. It's about us. And let me say one more time. It's not necessarily about us Sunday morning at 10:45. It's about us Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, throughout the whole week. That's the important part of the church. The important, listen, The important part of Sabino Road Baptist Church is not us gathering at 10:45 Sunday morning. It's about us leaving at noon. Y'all hear this? The most important aspect of the church is when we leave at noon. What do? Who do we talk to? How do we drive? How do we talk to the person who's making mistakes in the cubicle next to us? How do we respond when we get too much money back in our hands with the change? How do we respond when we're not given what we need? How do we respond? How do we act? What do we do as the church Monday through Saturday? Oh, here, man, you guys look great. You're the best looking church I've seen all day. Wonderful. It's kind of easy to look good here, isn't it? I mean, I could have a fight with the wife and be mad at my kid and yell at cars coming to the church, and but I can walk through the doors and put a huge smile on my face. And when I see each and every one of you, even if I have something against you, I've been in Texas all week, against you, I can still kind of put on the fluffiness and, hey, how are you, you old horse thief, right? It needs to be the heart. It needs to be the heart of the matter. That's developed Monday through Saturday. You come here on Sunday as a celebration of your life with Jesus Christ throughout the week. You guys hear that? You come here on Sunday as a celebration of your life throughout the week. Who is on the worship team in the Vision Clinic? Raise your hands. Are you guys all sitting on one row or what? That's pretty cool. One of the things that we discovered was everyone always seems to want more fun, powerful, uplifting, wild kind of worship. That's not made by getting louder drums or getting some cymbals or getting some guys up here with some dance moves. Better worship on Sunday as a corporate body is built throughout the week with individual worship of your Lord Jesus Christ. Take that from worship to discipleship.
Well, the pastor didn't give a good sermon that day. Well, the Bible study, it left a lot to be.
That's not his fault or her fault. Your walk with God throughout the week adds to your Sunday morning experience. Are you all with me? Find the evangelism. Evangelism, that happens throughout all the week. Your witnessing happens throughout all the week. It doesn't happen here. It happens out there. You guys have heard this before, right? Now look at this next quote. The church is about people, not the program. People in union. People in union with Jesus Christ. We're in conflict not because of personalities, but because of who we're in union with. If we're in union with God and His desires, we wouldn't care about the other stuff. Say this again. People in union with Jesus Christ. Say it. People in union with Jesus Christ. The church is not about the people. It's about the people in union with Jesus Christ. Y'all with me? Come on. Look at any team in the whole world, and a winning team isn't about getting a bunch of people. Shoot, we got 20 people right here. Are they a team? No. They're a group of people. But once they get one common purpose, one goal, one vision, one direction, one Lord, once they get that, now they're a team. The church is about people in union with Jesus Christ. A lot of times we as a church forget that. We think that the church is only about getting together on Sunday mornings and having fun and seeing each other and hugging and all that. No, it's about being in union with Jesus Christ. The hugging, the getting together, the waving, the coming over for barbecues and all that stuff is a result of your relationship with Jesus Christ. So there's three things about the church that we need to talk about. One, there's a common love. There's a common love. Every church has a common love. Every church has a common life. And every church has a common longing. These have to be evidenced in the church for it to be a successful church. Success not meaning just numbers, but spiritual growth, being connected and close to Jesus. Look at the common love if you have your sermon notes. The common love, it's our common love that he loves us and he died for us. You guys ever hear that word koinonia? It's the common love that we have. We usually talk about koinonia being the love that we have for each other. This church does a good job with common love one for another. Did you know that? Shoot, every first Sunday, which is next week, we take up an offering for people that are in, that are hurting within the church. You guys know that, right? Every month, every first Sunday, we take up that special offering. We enjoy loving on each other. That's koinonia. I have down there in the Arab countries, there's a common pot. And at dinner time, they eat this pita bread out of a common pot. Oh, and there's some stew and some potatoes and some meat and all that kind of stuff. But they sit at the pot, they discuss, they are in a circle looking at each other, and the common pot is in the middle, and they dip their bread into the common pot. Hopefully they don't double dip, but maybe. But that's a common pot. That's kind of the picture of the church. We love each other. Why? Because of our love for Jesus. And we care for each other. Why? Because of the care that God's given us. And so we want to take care of each other. Why? Because of the way God has taken care of us. This is koinonia. It's based on a common love of God. Our common love is that Jesus loves us and he died for us. 1 John 1:3 says, "And indeed our fellowship, which is a distinguishing mark of born-again believers, is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ." We have a common love of God. And why is that? Well, he loved us first, of course. But then there's also a common love for God. Not just of God. Oh, we can appreciate a lot of things of him, but our love is also directed for him. Look at 1 John 4:10. It's up on your screen. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation, that is, the atoning sacrifice, and the satisfying offering for our sins, fulfilling God's requirement for justice against sin and placating his wrath. Beloved, if God so loved us in this incredible way, we also ought to love each other. One of the principles in Scripture, one that you see over and over, is the way God loves us, we must love each other. Oh, I just don't like this person. Oh, just negative or whatever. Oh, this person hurt me years ago. I'll never forgive them. I don't like these people, or I don't love those people, or I don't want... A lot of times this happens in the church. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of God, you are commanded to love each other in one way. You guys ready for this? In the way he loves us. That means we forgive the way he forgives us. Y'all with me? Isn't this awesome? Well, I don't know how to love this person. Well, go to the scriptures. Get tight with God. Ask him, how do you love me? And now you love each other. You following this? This isn't just, I feel like it. Makes sense. I'll give it a shot. This is powerful. I love you. I treat you in this special way. I forgive you. You are my child in this way. I love you. How can you not love other people? Yeah, but this guy hurt me. Do you know how much we've hurt God? Everything that someone else has done to you, we've done to our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in this way, isn't it kind of unique? Whenever we have issues with other people, it should drive us back to our relationship with God. Instead, where does most of this stuff end up? When someone hurts us, it drives us to find someone else. And are you on board with me? Do you know what they did to me? They hurt me. Are you with me? It's this bad person over there. No, it drives us to God. Not different teams. Drives us to God. If this church remains a church that has koinonia and fellowship just with each other, but not a common love of God and for God, will become a country club. And look around you. This is a neat country club. This is pretty cool. Don't you like each other? But the power of the Spirit and our ability to make an impact on that world is gone. It's done. We'll just have a good time in this building with each other. Second thing, common love, but common life. Acts 2:42, and I won't read the whole thing, but you guys have read this before. Acts 2:42, it's the new church. First chapter of Acts, Jesus leaves. He leaves this earth. He says, you guys now are going to be my witnesses everywhere. Remember this? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. In chapter 2 then, things start to happen. And meeting with each other and working through some community issues and all this, you see five purposes of the church that come through this. You guys get your little hands out and remember this. Do you still remember? What every Christian should do. What every Christian should do. How many times have we done this, guys? Come on, Trisha. You're going to remember this the rest of your life, aren't you? The W is what? Worship. Worship. The thumb is the only digit that hits all the other ones. Worship is in everything that we do. What's the E? Evangelism. That's the pointer finger, right? What every Christian, the C, that's community. When you look at your hand, what's the biggest finger? What's the one in the middle? By the way, I just let out something, right? Community, that's the one that's in the middle of everything. It's also a bad sign to those outside, the middle finger. Do they look at us and say, man, they love God, or do they look at us and say, you bunch of hypocrites? What every Christian should, what's the S? Service. That's the ring finger. That's the marriage of us with God, serving each other. Whatever Christian should do, what's the D? Discipleship. That D, that little finger, I think I've told you before, that supports everything. When I drink, I support it with my little finger. Discipleship is in everything that we do. There's a show that slide I have with churches grow. Look at this, guys. You want the church to change. You want Sabino Road to be different in a couple of years. Churches grow stronger through worship. It's neat when we hold hands in worship. It's neat when we raise our hands to God. We grow stronger as a unit body. Does this make sense? We grow larger through evangelism. If we're not doing any evangelism, we're not going to grow larger. Third, we grow warmer with community. We've proven that, haven't we? All the things that we do together, of course. We grow broader through service. Where's service done? Not just here, where else? Out there. We grow our influence. We grow broad through our service. Finally, we grow deeper in discipleship. Hey, the world is full of inch-deep Christians. Are you a Christian? Yep. Are you following God every day? Do you love to do His commandments? Do you have a walk with God every single day? Remember, our purpose is to walk with God. It isn't to do mighty great things on His behalf. That comes because of our daily walk with God. Put the walk first. Amen? This is corporate, but it's also individual as well. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you collectively are Christ's body, and individually you are members of it, each with his own special purpose and function that God has appointed and placed in the church for his own use. I want you to look at that. It is not your choice to be a member of this church. God has called you as a member of this church. And I hope that everyone that is a member of this church, when you stood up and walked down the aisle and said, I want to join this church, it wasn't because, no, this is the best choice for me. It was because God drew you to this church. This is what the Scripture says. The Scripture says God has placed you in this church, His church, for His own special purpose. You follow me? This is a spiritual, divine calling to be in this church. Don't take it lightly. That also means that when Trish leaves, you got to join a church pretty quick. You're going to be hunting around. You're not going to take 5 years off. Some people take 5 years off and they haven't been a member. That goes in direct violation of this verse. God places you in a church. Go and be there. Join it. Participate. You are active. You have a special purpose in this church, a special function that I didn't appoint. God did. You guys know that? Let me say this. If you've been outside of the church body, if you've decided not to join the church, if you've decided to leave the church, if you are not part of God's body, you are hurting the church. Join the church. If you don't like this one, you got to join another one. God's placed you somewhere. Go and find it. Talking to you right now. You know that when you go and look at churches, you're not going to say, well, I like the way the pastor looks here. Or I like the way it's colder here. Or I like the way they give donuts at this one. It's not about your comfort. It's about where has God called you to serve. Amen? Big church, small church. Lots of options. Some people like to go to a big church because they can sit on the back pew. Beck and I, our church in Phoenix, we're never there on Sundays. You guys know that? We're always here. But on Wednesdays, they run maybe 1,500 or so on Wednesday nights. And Brock has his youth group that he goes to and all that. And we sit there, and it's a big church, and it's very easy for us to sit in the back and not participate. Direct violation. Some people like a small church. Well, man, if you're in a small church, they're going to grab you and put you to work. It doesn't matter. If it's a big church, small church, country church, city church, church that wears Hawaiian shirts or churches that wear three-piece suits, churches downtown at the skateboard park, cowboy churches. I've been in Texas all week. Cowboy churches all over the place. It doesn't matter. God has placed you in the church. So if you're not a member of the church, join the church. If you are a member of the church, get to work. The second part of this is not just you need to be a member of the church. It is you're an active member of the church. We've been traveling all week. One of Brock's jobs, and he does a great job, is loading the car. So when we're in a hotel or whatever, we pack up and we put the bags over somewhere. You should see this kid. He puts first off, his bowling balls weigh 200 pounds, I promise you. There's three of them in this big bag. He puts eight different bags on and he walks out. And every single time I say, don't you want to get the cart? You know, carts are for old people, I guess. Yeah, there's no reason to clap on that. So anyway, but he's got all this stuff. Can you imagine if Brock joined our family, but then he didn't get put to work? Now I have to go up and down the stairs and I got bad knees and all this stuff, and he's watching the TV. He's not working. His part of the family when we're leaving the hotel is to get the stuff in the car. Do you understand how that helps me? How that helps Beck? How that helps everyone? And do you understand that if he didn't do that job, someone else has to do it, and they're not going to do a good job? In fact, it's going to hurt him to do that job. If you don't hear anything else but this, if you're outside the church right now, join it. If you are a member of the church, what's God called you to do? It is not just to sit there. It's to do something. One more time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Either way, God's got you. Look at the last thing, common longing. I'm going to end with this. There are three things in the common longing. The thing that unites us, common love, common life. But we have a desire, a longing for the future. One is obey Jesus' commands. Remember John 14:15? If you really love me, you're going to do my commands. He later says, if you don't love me, you're not going to do my commands. What does that mean? The whole church is based on my relationship with God. It's not based on what the preacher says. It's not based on what my small group says. It is based on what the Word of God says. Even when the preacher gives a great dynamic sermon that is full of the Scripture, that is so biblically based, it's just oozing and dripping with Scripture, you still have to take it home and chew it up and eat it up and regurgitate it. It is still you and your walk with God. Don't just take a great sermon home and think about it. You take it to the feet of Jesus. Monday morning, in your quiet time, you say, let me go through the sermon again. How does that apply to me today? Y'all with me? Do not just rely on your pastor, the new one coming, to give you your spiritual meat every week. Do not just rely on your new pastor to give you the spiritual meat every week. Just him. You are responsible for your walk and relationship with God each and every day. So when he gives you a good sermon, that's not the end of it. You take it home, you dwell on it, you eat it up, you ask God what you need to get out of it, you put it into place. Does this make sense? The world is full of believers whose heads are this big. I don't mean with pride, and that's true too. I mean with knowledge. They've been in church for 50 years. When I'm about to preach a sermon, half of you know which direction I'm going in the sermon because you've heard something similar 10 different times. It is going from the head to the heart. I've heard this. In fact, I might have heard it 20 different times. But today, this one little bit, this one little nugget, this one little thing keeps inflicting harm in my heart. Is this what I'm supposed to believe today? Is this what I'm supposed to do today? Don't just slap the pastor on the back and say, good job. What did he tell you today that you're supposed to go home and work through, work out, trust, implement, change, challenge? What is it about the Word of God that draws you closer to Jesus? Every sermon, every Bible study, every time I'm with Jesus, every time I hear a Christian song, every time whatever it is, that should be my main goal. What am I supposed to learn about this to get closer to Jesus? Everything. Second thing about the common longing is Jesus' return. The third thing is we want to see others come to know God. And here's the conundrum. We want both of these things, and yet we can't have both of these things. I want to see Jesus return, don't you? Do you really? Because sometimes we get so wrapped up in life, we want to see our grandkids grow up, and we want to see our careers blossom. We want to see those things that are important to us become more and more successful and give us great satisfaction. And yet Paul, I've mentioned this before, Paul in Philippians 1:21 makes a startling statement. This is what he says, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." If you guys memorize this when you're in Bible school or Bible study, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For I will be with him in eternity. If, however, it is to be life here and I am to go on living, this will mean useful and productive service for me. So I do not know which to choose if I am given that choice." This is the Amplified version, and I love it. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's got about 10 plates spinning on his little sticks. He's got church groups starting all over the place. And he's got all sorts of things going on. And he says, "Oh, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain." He says a couple things here. My biggest priority, I wish I was with Jesus. Hallelujah. And if you believe the Scriptures, don't you want to be with Jesus today? Take you out of this existence? Up with him? Wow. And then he says, but if I'm to stay here, I am to stay here for your benefit. I will work for Christ for your benefit. To die is gain. But if I'm here, I will continue working. What is he saying? I wish I were with him in heaven, but since I'm here, I will try to win people. I will try to evangelize people. I will try to disciple people. I will serve people while I'm here today. By the way, this starts over tomorrow morning, the same thing. Oh, I wish I were in heaven. But if I'm here another day, Lord, it is your day. Are we all on the same page? Are we? Live your life like there's no tomorrow. Because we're not given tomorrow unless the Lord wants us to have it. We don't know if we have it or not. Live your life today as in service to the Lord if he gives that to you. And if he doesn't, hallelujah. We'll see you in heaven one day. What is the church? The church is lockstep with Jesus. It's a church is a group of people who follow the scriptures, who obey him first, whose priority is to make Jesus happy, glad, joyful. You know, you can make Jesus joyful by obeying his commandments. That's what a church is. In a couple of weeks, you have a new pastor coming. Do not wait till he's here to get right with God. Do not think that instantly, because there's another guy standing behind this table, that you're going to be charged up and do all sorts of different things. No. Outside influences don't mean anything to you. It is God's relationship with you on the inside. That happens today. Get right with God today, and you'll be ready to follow your new pastor in a couple of weeks. Amen? I've been pretty harsh on you about joining the church and so forth. If you're not a member of the church and you've been here, come join the church. Do it now. Do it now. No need to wait for 3 or 4 weeks. By the way, the new pastor, when he gets here and you join the church, do you know what his first thought is? Well, how long have you been coming? 5 years. Why'd you join today? Well, you're the new pastor. Well, if you join because of a new pastor, he's not going to make you happy all the time. At some point, you'll leave because of the new pastor. Y'all with me? If you love the church, if you love Jesus, this is your place, and God's called you, do it now. Don't wait. Do it now. Second person I'm talking to today, if you don't know anything about the church or you don't have that walk of relationship with God that we've kind of been talking about this morning, a lot of this stuff doesn't make a lot of sense. But I'm telling you, you were created for one purpose, and that's to have a relationship with your Creator. So if that's you, if you've never known Jesus in a personal way, you're created for that purpose. So we're going to sing a song in just a second. Come down the aisle and I can help you start that relationship right now with God. Amen? Awesome, guys. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the day. Thank you so much for your sermon, your message. And Lord, I ask that you give us opportunities throughout the week that drive us back to what you've taught us this morning, to trust in you, to rely on you, to believe you when you say that you love us and that we love you. Father, bless this time of invitation. May you be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name, amen.